Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. The Soul of Business with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to the Soul of Business on Money FM 89.3. I'm Shahzad Haq for the workday afternoon. Now, as you may have heard a little earlier, the Food and Agriculture Organization recently said that aquaculture has become even more crucial to global food security after the COVID-19 pandemic and is key to helping the global economy recover. Aquaculture can be key to the emerging issue of overfishing in various parts of the world, which threatens vulnerable fish populations like cod, haddock and pollock. Those are common favourites found in many Singaporean households. I'm joined on the phone now by Andreas von Scholten, CEO of Barramundi Group, to find out more. Andreas, a warm welcome to you.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
I was reading up on this. It's really fascinating. We want to get into it, but first I think it'd be great to give us an overview of what the Barramundi Group does, please.
Absolutely. So Barramundi Group is actually a Singapore-born company that brings great-tasting, premium-quality fish to the world, really having sustainability at our core. So our mission is to help close the global protein gap that you also alluded to in your introduction, by really tapping into the potential of Barramundi as a species. So we are a pioneer of Barramundi. We've established a global farm-to-fork supply chain. So we really have control of the full spectrum of from the seed stock to all the way to the end consumer. And our world-class research and technology really allows us to produce responsibly farmed Barramundi at scale while still ensuring the oceans around us. So right now we operate in farms in both Australia, Singapore and Brunei, and we have established sales and distribution networks in a lot of major cities around the world.
We've talked about the protein gap here. Tell us more about that. Expand on that and why it's so important.
As you mentioned, the global population is expected to reach 9, some say even 10 billion people by 2050. And I think along with that comes really a sizable, you know, aspirational middle class that's slated to grow exponentially almost. So Asia alone will have a projected middle class of 4 billion by that same time. And that's going to result in a lot of demand for what we perceive as high quality proteins. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, you know, the thesis is obviously that as people get more money, more options, they'll prefer the better quality proteins. And so that category is expected to rise by at least 75% over the next three decades. So that's a huge, daunting task. And I think, as you also mentioned, it's really hard to see how the wild-caught fisheries can meet this growth. There's already talks of overfishing. You know, the wild stocks are being depleted. So a lot of the concessions are being all used up. So we really strongly believe that sustainable aquaculture fits in very well to be one of the solutions to really fill the demand for premium whitefish as it grows.
Aquaculture, I mean, we're going to give a broad overview, and I want you to step in as well in a minute. It's basically the marine version of agriculture, right? So it's a controlled process of cultivating aquatic organisms, especially for human consumption. And perhaps people may not be aware, but 50% of human consumption right now comes from aquaculture. And by 2030, the projections are 62%. Andreas, people probably don't really grasp that fact, do they?
I don't think so. It's really, these are really daunting numbers. It was probably about 5-10 years ago where aquaculture exceeded the wild-caught fisheries.
Right.
And I think that trend is only going to continue and even accelerate. And then you're right. I mean, aquaculture really refers to fish or seafood. Could also be shrimp. Some of it, and actually the majority of it, is still done in ponds in either freshwater or brackish water, which is, I think, what a lot of people will remember when they've seen, if they've seen shrimp farms and the like.
Right.
But I think where we see the biggest sort of sustainable angle is to use the oceans. Now, the oceans is the natural habitat for fish. It's also the number one most underutilized resource as a protein source in the world. And really combining the natural habitat for the fish and a vast ecosystem like the ocean, we think is the most sustainable way of producing proteins even for the future.
Now, could you tell us what are the food consumption trends that we can anticipate in the coming decade?
I can give you my thoughts on these. So I think we have seen, even in the midst of the pandemic, a lot of changes. I mean, people are really starting to care much more. They become much more focused on both living healthy, but also doing what's right for the planet. So we have seen dietary preferences like veganism gaining a lot of traction. But also as part of that, and somewhat perceived to be a similar choice, is the whole pescatarian diet or even veganism, where diets including a lot of seafood, a lot of fish, is really gaining in popularity. Now, Now, Asia has for many years been a strong consumer of seafood, but this is also really now getting traction in Europe and the U.S. And this is what we call the trend towards blue food. And I think the reason is really many. First of all, fish is healthier, a healthier choice to eat. It's got a lot of rich in omega-3s, omega-6. It's got minerals, all that. Mm-hmm. But it also is consuming much less resources. And it's, for example, especially comparing to terrestrial animals like beef and pork, farm fish emissions is 7 times less carbon dioxide, for example. So really, if you think about it, it's a massive impact. It's really good to see that people are starting to eat more fish.
You know, okay, so I want to pick up on that because obviously we've talked about the health factors there. You've mentioned them. You've talked about how it's good for the environment and sustainability. What would you answer to people who say they have concerns about pollution in the water and how that transmits into fish and other seafood?
Yeah, no, I think it's a very valid. That's a concern of a lot of us. I think that the fact is, I mean, the ocean is a great place. And I think it really is down to the details to understand exactly what really goes in. But I think when we select our sites, this is really with that in mind. We want to select sites that are have no environmental impact on the surroundings. So, mm-hmm. I mean, in our sites in Singapore, for example, we have thriving corals. We have a lot of marine wildlife next to us, a testament that we only actually help the ecosystem around us. And I think when you also select sites, it's important to know that it's in places that have clean water, mm-hmm. strong currents, very oxygen rich, so that we do ensure that the fish have the best conditions to survive. So we do constant environmental surveys and studies that measures the water quality. As you mentioned, you know, any type of adverse events would be picked up by these surveys. So this is not something we do every 10 years. It's something we do on an annual basis as part of continuing to get all of our various certifications as a producer. So I would say it's something that is certainly something to have in mind. We have it in mind. And I think that is also why you as a consumer want to choose the products that have been made in a sustainable way, because then you would know that all these factors have been really taken into account.
You know, I think it's fascinating. A lot of people wouldn't, when you talk about Singapore and our shores and our coasts, and we don't think about the coral and the sea life that's around. I mean, I'm just looking at your website and you've got St. John's sea bass. You produce sea bass on St. John's Island. I mean, that's fantastic. People, again, may not be so aware of all this stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, we get that quite a lot. We have actually had the pleasure to invite quite a few people to visit our farm, and it's just mind-blowing. You know, they don't see really Singapore as having this level of biodiversity, the cleanness of the waters. I mean, it's really quite unique, also considering where Singapore is in the geographic landscape. So, yeah, you're right.
We are speaking with Andres van Scholten, the CEO of Barramundi Group, on aquaculture being the key to prevent sustainability crisis. Andreas, what does the trend towards blue food mean for all seafood suppliers in today's landscape?
It's really a signal towards, you know, I mean, sustainability is becoming a shared responsibility. And I think it's something where one of the reasons why I was so immensely proud to join this company a few years back was really that vision around making a species truly sustainable and driving that force. I think in particular in an Asia context, we as a company want to be a leader. We're still, you know, looking at a lot of the companies in Europe and elsewhere, I think, solving this together. But I think it's something that I think will become an increasing trend. I mean, I'm pretty sure that by 2050, a consumer will just demand that food that eating have been made in a responsible, sustainable way. And I think we really need to all gather up together and solve this challenge alone, because not one company can solve this alone.
Tell me, do you get questions about, say, you know, with aquaculture, are there ethical concerns about the fish and how they are farmed, and is it too crowded for them and that kind of thing?
I would say it really depends, and I can't speak for all of the producers, but mm-hmm. I can certainly say that we have had fish welfare as one of our mantras to really ensure that we do whatever we can to make sure the fish's lives is as good as it can get. First of all, we farm them in their natural habitat, so they will always already be feeling at home. Mm. Then also what we really are, as I mentioned, particularly about picking sites where there's an adequate flow of oxygen and clean water. And then I think more importantly, I think is around the density levels. So we really keep a strong focus on not ensuring that the fish density, so this is really how many fish you put into these big cages, does not exceed a certain level. And I can tell you, if you were to, I mean, I'll invite you, could come dive with the fish, you'll see that they have ample space and really room to roam around and be, you know, growing nicely.
But by the way, do you offer tours to your facilities? Because I think that sounds fantastic. Like you said, people are so surprised when they come down that they don't know this is right on their doorstep.
No, I know. It's something that we have been contemplating for quite a while. There are some security protocols and stuff that we need to adhere to. So I think it's something that we keep on discussing with the authorities as well on what we can do. But I think as a especially MIT, we are able to bring small groups through to visit. What I also want to mention is around the feed we use. I think that's also a major component on how we select feed that has been through the most stringent of controls and how we use the most sustainable feed that you can actually get your hands on. This is right now a 70% plant-based feed.
Wow.
So we really do minimal impact as well. And obviously our goal is to have 100% plant-based protein in the future, something that we work very closely with our suppliers and partners on keeping on moving that needle to just do better. It comes with a premium.
Of course.
But as you know, if the fish eats good tasting feed and high quality feed, that also means that they will also be a better tasting fish at the end.
Yeah, I like to hear that, plant-based feed. I mean, any other key innovations in aquaculture to anticipate the effects of climate change?
Yeah, I think there's quite a lot of things we're working on. I mean, we have a whole sustainability agenda and also try and look at what will happen in the future. I think in some ways, Barramundi is a tropical species. So, I mean, we've all heard about how, you know, climate change can result in rising seawater temperatures and I think also higher waves, you know, adverse events, etc. I think actually our model with having that sustainable tropical species at mind, so happens that Barramundi thrives almost the warmer the waters get. So it's almost a natural hedge to some of the cold water species that is also being farmed in places like Norway and Chile that probably would be more exposed towards rising seawater temperatures. I think that's, I think, a good thing to us. I think where we need to be very careful is obviously around adverse events. I mean, you could imagine if there's a huge wave or typhoon or the like, that could have impact. So we want to select our sites in ways that our farms are sheltered, so to really have as minimal impact as these events would be expected to happen more frequently in the future. But I think when it comes to technology and development, I think we're just really scratching the surface. I mean, although aquaculture has been around for 2,000 years or more, the advanced aquaculture, which we are the ones, you know, pioneering along with many other companies, where you really do it in an industrialized way at scale, I think we've only just scratched the surface in terms of what's really possible. So I think we're now looking at things like multitrophic, culture, where you combine different species that work well together, also to have minimal impact on the surroundings. So all these different things are stuff that we're exploring.
I think you've already kind of answered where I'm going to go next, but is there anything else the Barramundi Group is doing currently that addresses a more sustainable consumer palate?
The site selection, about how we use the plant-based feed, around the certifications. I mean, I think maybe to add, we want to also embark upon what we call sustainable packaging. So we want to, again, make a promise to our customers that this is something that we continue to dig into. There are some challenges being in a tropical place like Singapore and Australia, even Brunei.
Sure.
But I think it's something that we are pushing, again, our partners to develop new sustainable packaging. The other thing I want to mention is around energy efficiency. Again, just to share light of how we keep on trying to innovate and do something better. We've in Singapore recently installed solar panels to our barges and farms. So whereas before we used to have diesel generators running that would power air condition and the like, now it's 100% running on clean energy. And not only is it better to work around because there's no noise, but it's also obviously more sustainable. And this is, I think, again, just a starting point of something we want to make even more widespread across all of our farms around the world.
Fantastic to hear all that. Listen, we've been speaking with Andreas van Scholten, CEO of Barramundi Group, on aquaculture being the key to prevent a sustainability crisis. Andreas, thank you very much for that insight. Been a real pleasure. So, so informative.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Thank you, Andreas. I'm Shahzad Haque for the Workday Afternoon. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.